certainly appreciate the DM. And I guess not many folks didn't realize I was one of them, that really the Lord was on the table. So he did. And we have to accept that, don't we? And God knows what's best, even though we don't understand it.
Yeah.
Brother Joey was my friend. I asked everyone if I could just say a few words. He was probably one of the strangest characters I've ever met. He was, the word term's been used, unique. He was more than unique. There was nobody like him. He could, he got by saying things that nobody else could say. Nobody would say. And that was just him. And his personality, he was a comedian at times. And when you first met Brother Joey, you didn't know if he was ever serious about anything. Because he's always cutting up and saying silly things. And I wouldn't be at liberty to tell you some of the things he told me on the phone. What a sick trick. But look, I want this truth. I got more wisdom than that. But we were friends, and behind all the dress code that he had, I told him all the time, Brother Ben, you work. And he was different, but he didn't care. He was Brother Hyatt. And the characteristic I like most is he didn't care where he is at. We've got this term that we use, liberal, worldly, holiness, super duper. We all call it. But Joey didn't care. He'd preach for you if you'd let him. And he really brought a lot of folks together. Behind all that humor and all that goofiness was a man of God. You hear me? He preached his heart out. He probably pulled as hard as anybody I've ever seen for altar services. And that was a characteristic that I appreciate about Brother Hyde. Come, Brother Hyde.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. I'm certainly enjoying this meeting. I know that all of you are too. It's been a great week, and been a great privilege to honor the men that we've honored all week long, and then tonight to spend this time saying something on behalf of Brother Joey Hyde is a great honor and privilege of mine. And so I want to thank both Brother Ralston and Brother Ingram for this wonderful remembrance tonight. I think, as others have said, that this special thing that they've added into the ministers' conference the last several years is a much needed and necessary thing. And so I want to thank them for doing this tonight. I thank Brother Ingram for asking us to say something in this service, and I'm fully aware that there's many, many, many others in this place tonight that could stand behind this microphone and think of a multitude of things. In fact, an image came to my mind today. How many of you have seen those little bubbles that they draw over a cartoon character that shows they're thinking about something? And the image came to my mind that if you just mentioned Joey and Tricia Height, the whole room fills up with these bubbles of memories. And there's just so many things that can be said. And I want to say that beyond this recognition service, Brother Don Ingram is, he's been a special part of the process these last few years. Of course, he and Sister June are very close friends to Brother Joe and Sister Tricia. But I want to say, for what it's worth, Brother Don, thank you for all the trips that you made across the country, from here, the West Plains, and beyond to Springfield, and on up to Minnesota last year. As you might remember, right at this time, Brother Joey was up in Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and so my wife and I were there. Brother McDonald was there. Brother Tabor was there. Brother and Sister Bowling. So we had a good nucleus of friends there to support Sister Tricia and the family. But keep in mind that just a year ago, last week, Brother Don Ingram was up there in Minnesota, coming up, just days from this huge ministers' conference, but he felt compelled to be there, and I appreciate that. Also, I want to say that Brother Ingram, Brother Donnie and Sister June, several years ago, went with Brother Joey and Sister Tricia all the way to Great Britain, England, where they were on the ultimate sightseeing church history book buying tour. Can you imagine what that might have been like? I have a renewed appreciation for Brother Don Ingram to think that he was that long in a plane with Brother Joey. I do appreciate them. You might also remember, all of you that were here last year, that one night, Brother Ingram and Brother Ralston, they struggled at first, you know, they're a little technology handicapped, but they were trying to arrange a conference call with Brother Joey. How many of you remember that? And finally, they got the phone connection, got Brother Height on the phone. He was laying in the hospital room up there, of course, just coming out of a major, major delicate heart surgery. But he mustered the strength to talk to us via the microphone here. They held the phone up. And in the course of conversation, you might remember, Brother Joey said through his shortness of breath, "I've got to hurry up and get out of this place because a bunch of you knuckleheads are going to try to steal my sermons." So tonight we're remembering a lot of things, and I've got memories of messages tonight. How many of you have memories of messages that Brother Joey preached? And we could just go down a long list of some of his elaborate illustrated messages. His captivating titles like Landbirds and Granted Berry's Own, you know, things like that. But he also preached sermons based on one word from the Bible, series of sermons on words like hell or come. Didn't he preach, Brother Baker, every night of Eastern Indiana camp meeting? Every night he preached on the word come. And he just was a very unique messenger. And some of you might remember right here in this place him preaching his famous coffee pot message. And talked about preachers in hot water. Used a carrot and an egg and a coffee pot. Those are the kind of messages that we remember. But I was talking with a younger preacher just a few days ago, and he told me how he listened online recently to what we think might be the last message that Brother Joey preached away from the home church. He was at Bethany Holiness Church out there at Sand Springs preaching for Darrell Tolliver, and he preached a message on the ministry of the five suitcases. And there he was struggling with all of his health issues and still preaching memorable messages that stirred this young preacher's heart even after the fact. So we won't forget his messages, and we won't forget all of the unique humor and blend of his illustrations that he threw in there. And of course, Sister Tricia was always put in a position where she had to drive the getaway car. We're so glad that Sister Tricia was there to drive the getaway car. We're glad she's here tonight. Spot with some of the things he was saying, he'd say, "Tricia, go start the car," and that was her driving the getaway car. But Sister Tricia drove the getaway car in a lot of different ways, and supporting him and taking care of him, and I'm sure trying to tone down some of his bright colored ties. I don't know if she did that. There was no way to get away from that, huh? And so we appreciate Sister Tricia so much. It's a lot to be grateful for tonight, to see how the Lord has been helping her and strengthening her and giving her the grace, knowing that it's only been 9 months. So thank you for all of your prayers for Sister Height. We're remembering his messages tonight. I have memories of many of his messages, but we also have memories of his music. He was a very talented musician, as we all know, but it wasn't just his music. It was Sister Tricia at the piano, him on the saxophone, the two of them singing together. They blessed us so many times before they even got to the message. And then after the message, the music fire up again, and the music was such a blessing. And if you have some of those CDs of theirs that they recorded with all of those Joey Hike titles, like the one CD that's called The Flaming Tenor, and has the picture of the fire department trying to put the fire out on the saxophone. That's an image of Brother Joey with his saxophone and his music. What a blessing they were in that. I believe that there's probably a lot of saxophone players in our churches today that have been inspired by Brother Joey. In fact, that same preacher that told me that he had heard that message on the five suitcases said that there was a place in that message where Brother Joey was weak and struggling and having trouble breathing, but to the best of his ability, he hollered out, "I can't play my saxophone anymore with the condition that my lungs are in. I can't play the saxophone anymore, but you can." And that preacher remembered he had stuck his saxophone away in the closet somewhere, and he has since got it back out. And with the help of the Lord, he's going to use his talent for God. Thank God for the memories of messages and the memories of music. But I have memories tonight that I want to just call memories of the man. Memories of a man so different, so unique, so one of a kind, as Brother Ingram has already said. We can't forget his humor. He was very quick-witted. I mean, there's no way to outwit him. So we remember his quick wit, his stinging, often stinging one-liners, and his makeshift poetry, where he would say things like, "I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll forget about the new and stick to the true. And that goes for you, Blue." If you've ever been in their home or had him in your home, then you've been the victim of many pranks. Bugs and snakes in the beds, plastic vomit and other stuff on the floors. And maybe he sent the police after you while you were in town. I know he did that to Brother J.R. Alexander, had him pretty nervous there for a while. Had his connections with the police and used that force of influence to make a lot of us nervous, but he had a gift. I don't think it's listed in these gifts that we've been hearing about this week, but it's the gift of humiliation. Now, there might be a gift of humility, but he had the gift of humiliation, and he used it a lot on me. Part of that is because I'm naturally a little bit clumsy, and I openly admit that I'm a little bit gullible, and that's a bad combination to be around Brother Joey Hite. And so I feel like he abused me and victimized me many times. And I don't know how he found out some of the stuff that he found out about me. I couldn't hide it. Anything that I did, he found out about it. I took Brother J.R. Alexander and his son Michael and my son for a trip down in the country, and we got up in the hills, and I was going to show them, as we were walking the woods, I was going to show them how we in the Ozarks swing from a grapevine wrapped around up in a tree there. So we cut that grapevine loose, and I reared back. Brother J.R. was pretty nervous as he looked up in that tree and saw that vine got smaller and smaller towards the top. I said, "Don't worry about it. I can do this." And so I reared back to prove, you know, my mountain man capabilities, and took off a running and let out a big Tarzan yell, and that vine broke with me in midair. A few days later, they were starting up the May meeting, and before service started, Brother Hite and Brother Ronnie Baker presented me publicly with a wreath made out of a grapevine and made me tell the story of my Tarzan journey. And so he did take advantage of me. I know that some of you no doubt heard about my famous preacher bloopers. Brother Ingram, don't you think we ought to have a teaching session on that in a minister's conference on how to survive preacher bloopers or something? Well, I had done one of my famous ones out there at Junction Hill when I was pastoring. We were in the same area. I preached a whole message that morning on the lighthouse. And I told about lighthouses I had seen, lighthouses I'd read about, what the lighthouse did, and described them. But the farther I got in that message, the more I noticed people laughing. I mean, not just smiling. It was smiles at first, then it was chuckles, then it was just flat-out laughter. And then I realized everywhere that I thought I was saying lighthouse, I was saying outhouse. But I'm going to tell you, it takes on a whole new meaning. But I hadn't been home from church 15 minutes, and my phone rang. And I picked up the phone, and it was Brother Joey singing, "There's an outhouse on the hillside." I'm telling you, he took advantage of me. And if that wasn't bad enough, we often went fishing together and loved to fish. And we'd go down to Norfolk Lake and rent a boat and spend the day. And one day he was out fishing me pitiful. I mean, just every so many minutes he'd say, "Oh, Blue, got another one." Smile at me, reel it in. And, "Oh, Mike, got another one." And boy, I wasn't catching a thing. But finally, I hooked into a monster, a big one. The biggest one I'd ever caught in my life. And I'm not just telling you a fish story because he said it first. He saw it come towards the boat and he said, "Mike, you've got the biggest bass I've ever seen in my life." And I was reeling it in and he's trying to get it in the net. And I've forgiven him for all of the other pranks that he's played on me. But this has been a hard trial in my life to forgive him for this, because just as he was trying to get it in the net, the fish kind of went under the boat and he reached over there and got a hold of the line. And I can still hear as he tugged that line him saying, "Oh no." I knew exactly what it meant, and we both looked and saw that big bass swimming away. But I did get even with him, I think, not on purpose. We were moving from Junction Hill. We spent the night at their house. And I had a long extension cord plugged in from the back of our moving truck to the refrigerator in it and had it plugged in. And I decided to go get gas in the morning before we pulled out and forgot that was plugged in. And Brother Joey just happened to be looking out. I'm telling you, I'm clumsy. And he catches it all. And he looks out the window, and Sister and LaDonna said she heard him start yelling, "Mike, no, no." And I pulled off, and I took out every one of his new solar lights he had lining that sidewalk. Pow, 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 every one of them, right in a row. How many of you know Brother Joey liked to keep his things in good condition and clean? I mean, he was always cleaning his cars, cleaning his guns, cleaning his shoes, cleaning his garage, always cleaning. Now listen, I like things clean, but because of this curse that's upon me, any time that I would go where Joey was, I would wash my car. I felt self-conscious about it. But somehow between here and where he was, I'd run into a rainstorm or a rain shower or snow or something. And I'd polish my shoes, but just as I'd come into church where he was, I'd step in a mud puddle or something. And he always took notice of that. But back when he was sick, I called to check on him. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You'll never believe what I'm doing." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm sitting here on the floor of the closet polishing the vacuum cleaner." I said, "You're right. I never would have guessed that." But we remember his humor. We remember his generosity. He is a very generous person. Him and Sister Tricia both, very generous people. Blessing to so many preachers around the country and preachers' kids around the country and the kids in the church. If there any kid that was ever anywhere near where Brother Joey was, there's a good chance that they ended up with a piece of money in their hand before they got by. And I appreciate his generosity. I have a leather coat that he gave me. He rescued from Goodwill, polished it up and everything. Nice leather coat, and he gave it to me. I appreciate his humor, his generosity, but more importantly than all of that, his influence. He had a powerful influence on all of us. Not just his laughing, of course, but his listening. In case you hadn't heard, at his funeral last April, conservative estimate was between 800 and 1,000 people in attendance, and some even estimated closer to 1,200 or 1,400. It was hard to get a count in that arena type setting that they had the funeral in. But of course, when we scanned that audience and we saw that there was such a wide range of people in that audience, in that large number, what was impressive was not just the numbers itself, but to realize that there was family, of course. There were friends. There was a multitude of church people, the church people that he pastored, of course, the area churches, but lay people that drove in from all over the country. Preachers, such a wide variety of preachers, a multitude of preachers. But in that crowd also were firemen from the local fire department and policemen, and many of them I saw in their well-pressed uniforms standing there giving this tribute to a fallen comrade, because he was a volunteer fireman and a chaplain for the police department. They were there to honor him with tears running down their face. And I saw in that crowd the saved and the unsaved, some of them from the rougher side of life. There were people in that crowd that were businessmen, state representatives, state troopers, many of them with tears in their eyes, but all of them with stories in their heart, because that was the kind of man that Brother Joey Height was. He influenced them because he built relationships with them. He listened to them, spent time with them. His life was a life well lived. And as Brother Ingram has already said, we don't understand why is a life so short. But I can't help but think about Enoch. The Bible says simply of him, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I'm thankful for a life well lived, and I appreciate having friends like Brother Joey Height.
Great, wasn't it? Amen. Appreciate what Brother Blue had to say, and I certainly count an honor to be here tonight. I wanted to come not only to get to see precious brothers and sisters that I hadn't been able to see in a while, but I wanted to be in this memorial service, if you will, concerning Brother Hyatt. And heaven only knows what the man means, not meant, but means to me. And and Sister Hyatt, so much we appreciate her. And Brother Ingram met me over at the motel and asked me about saying something. I told him, he said, well, how you feel about that? I said, I knew I was going to do it before I left the house this morning. And so I thank God for that. But I want to share a few things with you, as Brother Mike did. Several times on Sunday morning, I'd call him or he'd call me, and he and I would just, you know, talk about what we're going to preach on. And sometimes you make big mistakes, you understand, sharing your thoughts, if you will. And so one particular Sunday morning, he called me Bubba. He said, Bubba, what you preaching this morning? And I said, well, I'm going to preach a message on let go of the handrail. Oh, you are, he says. Says, "What? How does that go?" I said, "Well, I read an article where a man said you want to do anything for God, you know, a mountain climber, you've got to let go of that handrail. You'll never amount to anything." And I just went on and on and told him about a mountain climber that had died going up a mountain, and they had a huge sign there that said he died climbing. Well, I went ahead and preached that on Sunday morning. Next thing I knew, he was up in Indiana somewhere or another, had made a handrail. Is that not right? Had made a handrail, and he's preaching on, "I'm going to let go of the handrail. We're going to do anything for God. We got to let go of the handrail." So, needless to say, I hung it up. I didn't preach it. And for years, and finally got out. I preached several years, Brother Noah's meeting, and coming down the off the rostrum by Noah's church, he got a handrail, and I said, "Well, if he got a portable pulpit, I'm gonna give it a shot, and I'll try to do something with it." But I preached that one time since then. So, needless to say, it happens. But here's a kicker. You know, we all want to. You know, as though we're original. Help me while I talk. I mean, great God, I'm original, you understand. But let's face up, and the man said, let's admit it, we all glean from one another. Isn't that right? I mean, I go to church there, and I have pen in hand, and I never will forget one time I was preaching an evangelistic campaign meeting somewhere in this world, and somebody said, "Did you pull the train?" That's all I did, pal. I never moved it. I just pulled on it. You understand? After service, though, I love people to know how to encourage you. One man came up to me and said, "I'm going to preach that and try to do something with it." Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. But oh, I'm telling you, he's precious. We had so many good times together, things that we shared together. I preached his meeting several years, and he and his precious bride came, and the Trinity Pentecostal Tabernacle preached for us. And they were going to be with us on Saturday night and then drive on in. I remember I told him, I said, "Look, I'm going to get it to you, and then, you know, you got a long way to go." And he said, "Hey, I'm here on business." And he preached that message about that net, getting that net out and getting tangled all up in it. And he did great that night. He was such a blessing. But at times of being in his home, he called and asked me, he said, "I want you to come and preach for me a week." I said, "Well, whatever, we'll work it out." And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He said, "You just come on up, drive up on Monday, and we'll start Tuesday night. And, you know, we just take it easy." I said, "That sounds like a winner to me." And so I wasn't doing no atrocious sin, but I just wasn't spiritual that day, you understand. I know you've never been there, but I'm just kind of taking it easy, you know, driving. Wasn't really had service on my mind. And so I got there. I knew what room to go to and everything out at the church. So I called and I said, "Hey, I'm here at the church, and I'm, you know, I've already got something to eat. I'm just going to take it easy and rest a while. I'll see you tomorrow." He said, "We got church starting in about 30 minutes. I said, "I beg your pardon." "Yeah, I meant to call and tell you that. We're going to start on Monday night instead of Tuesday night." So I had to get spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, get it on. Get it on. I share this with you. We were at the house, and we have done gun deals. I mean, several. And I know one gun house, to give you this, I traded him, and he got there, and then he went to trade it in. He called me and said, "You talking about a bummer?" He said, "I went," and said, "the guy looked at it," said, "he pulled it back and it fell apart." I said, "Well, I thought I had it fixed better than that." But house. Amen. But we're at the house. Sister Hyatt was out there fellowshipping with Sister MacDonald. Brother Joey looking in my gun case. And I had two Browning 22 lever actions. And he got it out and he looked at that. He said, "Oh, what are you going to do? You going to let them rush? You going to let them fall apart? What are you going to do? What do you want for this?" And I said, "You like it?" "Yeah, I like it. What do you want? How much you want for it?" I said, "It's yours. You can have it." And he stood there a minute. He grabbed that gun, held it to him, whirled around, opened the door, ran in the house, and I'm coming in behind him. He told Sister Hyatt, "Let's go. Let's go." She said, "What, Joy, what is your hurry?" He said, "We leave him before he changes his mind." Amen. You know what he told me he did? He told me he bought a strap, a Browning strap, and put on it. And he said, "I'll leave it at the back door and I shoot cats." Isn't that what he said? That's him. That's him. Of all the messages, I've heard him preach, and I heard many, and I enjoyed them all, was when he said, was with us at Trinity, and in our meeting in November, he was preaching that meeting, and he preached out of the book of Revelations where the angel put one foot on the land and the other on the sea. And he preached on balanced. Balanced. It was the greatest message I ever heard him preach in my life. That how that we as a movement need to get it balanced. That if we as a movement, and I want you to listen to me. If there has ever been a time that we need one another, we need one another now. I mean, there's things that, you know, we're going to split hair over. I know that. I mean, I'm not a novice. I didn't start yesterday. But I'm going to tell you, I need you. And you need me. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Let's get it balanced.
Yes, sir.
Let's find that place that we can work together, pray together, seek God together, go to heaven together.
Yes, sir.
So, Sister Hyatt, you'll never know what you and your hubby meant and mean to me. Brother Hyatt was more than a brother in the Lord. He was my brother. And I want to tell you right up front, I miss him. I miss him. I miss him cocking that head and just kind of looking. I miss the phone calls. I got a check in my office that he and I had done a gun deal, and he sent me a check. He didn't sign it. I called him. I said, "You in a bind or something? You got a problem or what?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You did not sign the check." And so I just put an X and a circle around it, because one man did that. He went into a place, you know, get a room, he put an X, and then he paused and put a circle around the X. And the proprietor said, hold up one momento. He said, I have had a lot of people, you know, couldn't sign their name, put an X, but never put a circle around it. The guy stood there a minute and said, I don't want everybody to know I'm in town. You love the Lord? Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen. I know all of us could add our stories tonight, and we certainly love Sister Height and the influence Brother Joey has been into all of our lives, and we just thought it was fitting because he was supposed to preach Thursday night of last year, and of course things have changed, and the Lord took him on, has already been said, but his legacy and his influence lives on in all of our lives, and all of us tonight, the sermons, the influence that we have in our lives from him. I guess as a teenager, one of the sermons that really transformed my life and changed my life was when Brother Joey was preaching from 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 17, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, and he preached scarcely. And so it just was a message that turned my life around, and as Brother McDonald was talking, I forgot I've got a 12-gauge home defender Remington at home in the closet. I had a gun deal. I don't know what I gave up to get that gun from him. I guarantee I was on the short end of the deal. 1992, we were going to Virginia, and Brother Height got us to come to the Amosville camp meeting. He was preaching there, and I didn't know anybody. I'd never been to the Amosville camp meeting, didn't know anybody there. But we rolled in as just newlyweds, really, and just barely into the ministry. Brother Height waved us over, made sure we sit across from him and Sister Height, and that everybody knew that he knew us, and put our name out there for some other brothers to use us, gave us some tithe money, and helped us travel a little bit. That was him. That was him. And amen. What an influence. But tonight, for Sister Height as well. And I know it's been difficult for us, but we can only imagine the trial that she has endured this last year. And our prayers and our comfort are with her tonight, and we certainly know that God's plan is unfolding for her, and God has good things in store for her moving forward. And we want to continue to love her and support her and know that God has a plan for her life. And so this plaque is given to her tonight, presented to Sister Tricia Height, and it is in honor of Brother Joey Height. This plaque is given in honor of the memory, influence, and legacy of Brother Joey Height. His music, humor, and sermons live on in all of us. His life has been an inspiration to many, and he performed the duties of his office admirably. He was blessed to have a wonderful companion who cared for him and faithfully supported him throughout his entire ministry. So this plaque tonight, Sister Height, is given to you January 26, 2017, from the Smoky Mountain Ministers Conference.
May I gently rearrange the furniture? You can listen in. I just have to do this for me. That's good. I really wanted to come to ministers' conference, but I knew rules were it's for preachers and their wives. And right now, I don't even know what name tag I'm wearing. And so I thought, you know, I'll just maybe can go in. And I came in and I thought, well, I kind of feel like a illegal alien, and you know, so I thought, well, you know, we might should build a wall, you know, and but I couldn't come up with anybody to fund the wall. And then I thought, okay, the book crook, Don Ingram. Oh, anyways, it's the spirit of Joey Hart. He hasn't been called the book crook in a long, long, long time. So, as ditto with they've said, he lived for practical jokes. And if you've been on the end of a practical joke, would you help me and raise your hand? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was good at practical jokes. London, England, Sister June, me and Joy, Brother Don. You know, here's this red phone booth over there. And he said, get in here. It's rain, rain, rain. Get in here. Get in here. Well, four people, one red phone booth. And we squeeze and squeeze it. Get in here. Rain, rain, rain. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And I don't know how we did it. But we shut the door and made it in the red phone booth in London, England. Yes, we did. Practical jokes. We were in Savannah, Georgia, preaching camp meeting down at Brother Ryan Ralston's, and we were at the fellowship hall after church and eating all their wonderful food. You know, some of us really like the loaves and fish, and we were eating all this wonderful food, and there was a bunch of preachers sitting across from us, and Brother Ryan was there, Brother Don was on by Joey, and sitting there, and a little bit, you know, people weren't looking, and as he can do, and I'm the victim all the time, he just reached up in my hair and jerked out a big old hair of my head and put it in his pocket. Okay, moving on. So just at the right time, Brother Don looked over, and Joey took this hair like out of his mouth like this to show Brother Don. Oh, hello. Brother Don charged, remember it? Charged down that hall, opened the first door, and puked in the trash can. What can I say? I'm telling you, he was original. Oh, my land. And then there was Brother Ralph Cox, our great, great Brother Ralph Cox, sitting at he and Sister Callie's table, eating in their little house in Tulsa, sitting across eating after church at night. Brother Cox gets up and does his own thing for one spare moment before he comes back, and Joey had run and got the Listerine and dumped it in his milk. Well, Brother Ralph Cox sits down, takes a drink of milk, and it went all over Sister Callie, everywhere. And then he went to the sink, and he puked, and he puked, and you know how only Brother Ralph Cox can carry on. So, he was endless. Tonight, I want to kind of start in reverse because my life has been in reverse. And I want to say ditto, Brother Mike did a great job thanking everybody. And I don't say thank you lightly. I would love to thank my brother, my only biological family here, my brother Billy. He has just survived cancer and treatments, and this is his first trip. And we pedaled from Dallas 11 hours yesterday, 5 hours today. There he is. I'm so glad he's with me. I'm so glad tonight to have my Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle family with me. It just makes my heart pop. And then I'm so glad I can't find them. They're hid among his stuff. But I have my new pastor, Brother and Sister Spurlock. Raise your hand. Where are you? I can't see you. Yes. I'm so glad you guys are here. And so I'm so glad for that. I want to thank all of you for all of your prayers that you have prayed for me and that you are continuing to pray for me because it works. It works. Number one, I live alone by myself in a big house, and I'm not afraid. Thank you for your prayers. All right. That's good. He left me fully loaded. One of his many gifts. Our life has already been said. If you've stayed in our home, been with us, I've best described it. It's like a circus, and there's only two clowns. And now, my life is like a circus without the tent. Thank you for your prayers. I, at Calvary, humbly say, I taught the young married class, the young adult class, the whoever class, for 17 years. And during those times, I was ranting and raving and did a little survey, and I'd ripped a page out of Brother Hyatt's National Geographic, one of his Bibles that he read. And so I ripped out a page, and I saw it. It's my life card. And I wanted to do I wanted my class to each one fill this out and do a kind of a statistics. And so when I was preparing for this, I crept to his office, horrible, got on my knees. I wanted one Bible. I opened this one Bible up, and when I opened this Bible up, and you have no idea the tough time I've been through. So I opened this Bible up, and it says, when it gets tough, you get tougher. I stood up out of his office and toughened my backbone. I grabbed this card that when I was doing a statistic to my class, he filled it out. This is who he was, according to him. Blanks are all down through here. My name is Joey Height. Childhood ambition, to be a cop. Fondest memory, my dad. Soundtrack, our own. So much for humility. Retreat, I mean, this was their survey. He filled in the blanks. Retreat, me and my honey, away and unknown. Does preachers identify with that passion? Okay. Wildest dream, being part of the police department. Proudest moment, my marriage. Biggest challenge, camp meetings as speaker. And does everybody else sigh? Alarm clock, hate them. Perfect day, Thursday, and any Thursday. First job, census taker. Indulgence, ice cream. Last purchase, ice cream. Favorite movie, Plead the Fifth. That's what he said. Inspirations, various happenings in life that point to a sermon. My life, he said, the ministry among holiness folks. My card, Visa. That's who he said he was. But he loved his books. He loved his books. There was an author, what was the initials? His last name is Borum. Got it. His last name is Borum. We were at a yard sale many years ago. He picked up a book. He read something out of it. We were headed to Bristow for our first time as a married couple. He was going to be speaking in the day services. And so he read this. After something in the book, he built a sermon. Brother Mike Blue has already said, land birds and branches with berries on it. And so he loved books. And he mentioned from the pulpit, Borum. So from then on, preachers were pounding the pavement to get a Borum book. We have to have a Borum book. And so he loved Borum. This little portfolio of his that I have in my hand, in the very front here, there is a sermon that he was working on, and the author was Borum. $1, $1, $1, two, 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 three, four, four. Oh, I thought I might kind of auction it off there. But he loved his books. And also, he loved the ministry. And I do not mean to be sacrilegious. You get the picture. But I want to ask a participation, if you don't mind. Are there any people in here, any ministers in here, you were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to the ministry, called to missions, any calling specifically from God under Brother Hyatt's ministry? Do you mind to stand up, please? Just be quickly. Nobody. Okay. Thank you. No, stand up and stay standing. Thank you. Thank you. If you got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to the ministry, missions field. Okay, anybody, not ministers, man, woman, beast, animal, pet, anything like that. If you felt a tug of God in Brother Height's, under Brother Height's sermon, a sermon, would you stand? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you may be seated. I'm going to ask the ministers to help me here for just a moment. If you have in your possession a cell phone, smartphone, dumb phone, anything like that, do you mind getting it out and hold it in your hand? If you're a minister, man, woman, doesn't matter, minister. Just, yeah, thank you for helping me. Submission is not gender. Submission is not male or female. Submission is not red, yellow, black, or white. Submission is an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an attribute of God. And submission is a choice that you make. It is a choice. It is a choice. Brother Height was dying in Cox Hospital. And he pulled me over one day. I was, you know, how spouses, how we did in touch. And I was holding his hand. He looked at me. He said, "Don't touch me again." I said, "Okay. All right." My love never wavered. The next morning I come in, I kissed him. He said, "Don't kiss me again." Submission? Submission? I never kissed him again. Because humbly said, I have practiced a lifestyle of submission to God and to my husband. And even those dying days, I never did what he asked me not to do until two doctors came in and said, "He's gone." And then I held his hand and I kissed him and I hugged him. And I don't ever, ever, ever regret it. Submission, submission, ministry is a choice. A year ago, we were at Mayo, Rochester, Minnesota. I've never made this public. I contemplated doing it tonight. I mulled it in my head. But here it goes. We had gone through the surgery, come out of the surgery, check, it's over with. Woo, it's behind us. He is in his room and went in and the snow, everybody left the next day, but we had snow and more snow and cold and everything. And Brother McDonald couldn't get out that day on the airplane. And a few of my family members, so they were going to have to roll over another day. Now, nobody wants to roll over another day when you want to go home. Got it? All right. So, just going to roll over another day. That afternoon, Brother McDonald came to see Joey. Billy stepped out of the room, and it was Brother McDonald, Joey, and myself. And it wasn't loud and commotion and screaming and hollering and just held hands and began to pray quietly. And then, all of a sudden, that room filled with the Holy Ghost. There were tongues. There were tongues and interpretation. And that's such a sacred moment. But in my mind, I was trying to retain, what's God telling us? I thought it was always us. I was the nail on the wall. He was the great big picture. So everything that was being funneled to us was to him. That's what God was saying. It's him. It's him. And I claimed it. Tongues and interpretation fell. Brother McDonald discreetly left. I charged to my wallet with my little pad. And this is what the Holy Ghost said. "I did what I said I would do. I'm not through with you. No matter what man say, do what I say." And he repeated it. "No matter what man say, do what I say. You and your companion be aflame. Oh, praise God. My soul was rejoicing. I interpreted it. We're going to get healed. You're going to get out of here. We're going to go up and glow out for God. Well, the rest is history. And I mulled that in my mind only when I was preparing for this. I read it. I said, it says, you and your companion be aflame. And I said, Lord, you were talking to me. You weren't just talking to him. You were talking to me. And I said, God, as long as I have breath, as long as I have air, as long as I can beat, my life is given to you. I want to, we have no kids to carry on a legacy. We don't, but I can choose to light the torch. I can choose to carry that legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of his gospel. And I tell you what, tonight, I am choosing to pick up my torch. I am choosing to go forward and not let the sermon die, not let the music die, but for God's glory and his kingdom, I choose to go forward, and in my way and in any way I can do is to carry the flame, carry the torch. And tonight, who is the legacy? Who is the legacy? You are. You are. You are. You are. Every preacher in this facility tonight is the legacy, because it's the same gospel, it's the same word of God, and it's the same heartbeat. You are the legacy. Is there one that will take out your flashlight, your light in any form, and say, yes, I want to be that flame. I want to be. Would you stand up? If I choose. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Thank you. I choose to be that legacy. I choose to be that torch. I used to carry it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as you do, humbly said, I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm not making him equal with God. You've got to understand my heartbeat. And as long as you have breath, you have your heartbeat of God. You have your burden. You have your marriage that is secure and sacred in the sight of God. You are that voice. You are his legacy, Douglas. You are the one now to go on and hold the flame high for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you for helping me this evening. I mean it with my heart. I know you mean it with your heart. And to God be the glory.
Me saith the Lord, the harvest is ripe, the labors are few. It's time that you go forth, minister that I've given unto you, that which you have laid and wept and cried and called unto me, O God. Use me, Lord. Set me afire, God. I have set you afire. Now go and burn. turn for me into a world that is damned and doomed to devil's hell. They have not turned to me, but yea, there are those that need your help. There are those that are lingering for words to be heard from their lips to their ears, that they may hear that which you speak to them. Hear me, saith the Lord. Go forth and labor and minister and love and have compassion. I want to remind you, where were you when I picked you up from the depths of sin and changed your life? And again, I have much in store for you, saith the Lord.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you're willing to obey the Lord and submit to the will of the Lord, why don't you just lift your hands all over this auditorium tonight? Let's just take a moment as we start our service tonight, and let's just submit afresh and anew to the will of God, whatever God's plan is. Amen. Whatever God